Coming up next on The Voice of Alabama Politics, cannabis chaos. Also, Moore versus Carl heats up. And Alpha says, Viva Las Vegas, baby.
What can I do with $5?
Gee, I don't know. Buy a bullet and rent a gun?
You know, what happens in Vegas doesn't always stay in Vegas. All this and much, much more coming up next on The V. Welcome to The Voice of Alabama Politics, where we tackle the tough issues so you have the hard facts. I'm your host, Bill Britt, and as always, I'm joined by Susan Britt, research guru extraordinaire, and Josh Moon, columnist and investigative reporter at APR.
How y'all doing?
Good. Good. How are you doing? Good to have you back.
I was coming there. I was like, yeah.
Well, I was thinking, you know, at a moment.
Yeah. You know, I know you were envisioning him in his mouse ears.
I had a pregnant moment of silence.
Yeah, all right. That's always dangerous for me.
Yes, it is. It is. You know, you just came back from the happiest place on earth.
Did.
Y'all had a big time.
We did. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, enjoy. You know, I know a lot of people complain about, you know, going and running around with their kids and the money and stuff, but, you know, we had a wonderful time. We really did. I thought it was a great place. And, you know, I if you can go. It's a very encouraging place. Yeah. I would say.
You know, we've been to Disneyland, Disney World. Love those places. Mm-hmm. You know, it just so happens that Alpha has come out and said that they are against all forms of gaming. Mm-hmm. They're absolutely even now targeting lawmakers, Josh, as mm-hmm. you've documented, and saying if you vote for gaming in Alabama, we're going to primary you. We're going to run someone against you.
Yeah.
All the while, and you wrote about this, we learned that their most recent retreat mm-hmm. for their top insurance salespeople was in Vegas, in Sin City itself,
right,
where the only reason to go to Vegas mm-hmm. is to gamble for the most part. There's other things. But obviously, with Alpha, what happens in Vegas didn't stay in Vegas.
No, it did not. It did not. It came back. And, you know, I want to be clear that you have nothing at all against the insurance agents at Alpha.
Absolutely not.
Enjoying themselves. They worked hard. They earned their spot. It's fantastic. Go and enjoy yourselves. What I have a problem with is that even if you say, well, there's all of these other things in Vegas for you to do, the golf, the shopping, the restaurants, the whatever there, okay? Those things are there because of those casino resorts,
yeah.
All right? And that's what we're trying to do in Alabama. We already have the gambling here.
Right.
We have an abundance of gambling here. What we don't have are all the benefits that go along with that might attract, say, a large insurance company to hold their retreat in a state place yeah. where you can then benefit all of the surrounding accommodations, yeah. like our great outdoor activities and,
yeah.
and golf and things of that nature, sure. you know? And so that's where I have a huge problem with what Alpha has done. And, you know, I know a lot of people look at it and call it the hypocrisy of what they, you know, this mm-hmm. action or whatever. And I'm not necessarily so focused on that. It's just, I have a problem with saying, here's this thing that we can all go and enjoy. And our agents chose this to do this and good for them, but you're denying the same thing for your home state.
Yeah.
And that's where I have a problem.
And it wasn't just the agents. It was the leadership.
Right, it was, yes.
Right.
It was the very people that make the rules that say no gambling.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Alabama, we're sitting in amongst, you know, five states that have gaming and all of that in their state. And we're missing out mm-hmm. and having to send people, like you said, out of state to enjoy that, where maybe somebody, you know, in Vegas can send them to their agents to Alabama to enjoy these things.
I think, and again, the agents deserve what they earn.
Absolutely.
And I'm for that.
Yeah.
What I don't appreciate is that they, without shame, mm-hmm. send them to a place with gaming and then tell us that we shouldn't have it here and won't give a real reason.
That's the problem.
They will not give a reason.
That's the problem right there that I have is, okay, if you're a minister somewhere who is opposed gaming on all fronts, won't hold raffles, church bingo, anything like that. Okay, man, you've taken a stance. I respect your stance on this. Alpha has, to this point, not provided a reason specific to them for why they're against this. I don't understand
it. How is it going to affect insurance other than maybe these casinos need more insurance?
Yeah,
how is it going to harm farmers? It makes no sense.
I mean, again, this is a company, Alabama-based company, that gets $52 million a year annually in tax benefits from the state, but they don't want the state to have the tax benefits from gambling.
Right.
You know,
and also point out that they were not quite as opposed to the last comprehensive bill that came through that happened to have a little bit of money that was going towards some of their learning situations that were taking place, some of their training ordeals, and that's all fine. I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with Alpha getting money out of this. No, I really don't. I think they do. I honestly think they do some great work around the state. But I have a problem with you never being able to say what the problem is with this, not ignoring the reality of there being all of this gaming that's taking place that's supporting organized crime all around the country, and yet we can't ever advance this to a point where we can regulate it and tax it and get the benefits that we should from these
things. And more importantly, the tax revenue that we can get off of this to provide programs to enhance what we've got going in the state, to go toward mental health, to go toward health care, all these things that we're
education
that we're in such dire need of now. Well, why would you want to deny the state being able to make money from this?
Well, we got a little less than 2 minutes, but the thing is, they've always said, well, our members are against it, which is almost impossible because of the latest poll numbers out on that. 72% of Republicans now are in favor of expanding gaming, contrary to voting favorably.
Right. Yes.
72%. So if statistically 72% of people are for it.
72% of Republicans.
Yeah. Then 72% of your membership's probably for it too.
You know what? If their membership is really against it, you know what they can do? They can vote. When the constitutional amendment comes to
vote for it.
The poll.
Vote against it.
Vote against it. Vote for it. Don't send your big dogs out to pick a fight. Just go and vote.
It is anti-American, anti-Alabamian, to not allow people to vote on the issues. And that's why we have the Constitution structured the way it is, so that people can vote on it, so that the big mules and the politicians cannot tell us what to do all the time. Not that they don't want to.
Yeah, listen, and that's for everybody. If you don't like the structure of the comprehensive bill, vote no. But at least let's put this thing on the ballot. Let's see what we can get out of this. Let's see what can happen if we want to have this gaming or not.
I mean, Joe Bob in the legislature shouldn't be threatened by Alpha.
Right.
They really shouldn't.
Or anybody else.
That's true.
You know, I mean, and again, back to that old saying, as a lawmaker, if you can't take their money and drink their whiskey, then you don't need to be working with them.
It just boils down to what's good for the state and what's not. Yeah. And the way we have it right now is very bad.
It's very detrimental.
So the line is, I can drink your whiskey and spend your money, and I can still vote against you.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to leave it right there. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics.
It's time. Time we had someone in Congress fighting for us. As Democratic leader in the State House, Anthony Daniels helped steer millions of dollars into our district, fighting to raise wages, invest in our infrastructure, and create good jobs. Now he's passed a new law, removing state taxes on overtime pay, putting more money in our pockets. It's time for Anthony Daniels for Congress. One of us for all of us.
I'm Anthony Daniels, and I approve this message.
Your home is your most valuable asset, but what if someone tried to steal it from you? Property fraud is one of the fastest growing areas of fraud in the country today.
As a district attorney, I've seen firsthand the devastating effects of property fraud. That's why I'm proud to support the Montgomery County Probate Court's REACT program.
REACT is designed to protect your property, and to give you peace of mind. By signing up, you'll receive an email notification if a document is filed against your property.
This program is a game changer. It has the potential to prevent fraud and protect countless homeowners throughout Montgomery County.
So don't wait. Sign up for REACT today and protect your home.
Protect your home with REACT. Sign up today.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. Susan, as with all good campaigns, they are nasty, they're dirty, they scrap and they fight and they lie and they bite. And that's when it's a good campaign, so, right?
Right.
Barry Moore is versing Jerry Carl in the runoff, or not a runoff, in the contest for Congressional District 1. Barry Moore was in District 2, was redistricted out. Now he's running against his fellow Republican, which is very unusual in Alabama. And I think, in a sense, will define what the Republican Party looks like in this state, depending on who wins. As far as cash goes, Jerry Carl has almost got double the amount of money that Barry Moore has, a little less than double. And right now, we haven't seen either one of them spending a lot of money. But one of the things that I wrote a story this week on, Barry Moore said that he was not taking money from Club for Growth. He had in 2020, 2022, he said this year he was not. Now, Club for Growth has been on the outs with former President Donald Trump. Not surprisingly, they're probably trying to get back in now.
Right, sure. Right.
But they have never supported Jerry Carl. So I just started looking at one of the super PACs that's working with them. And we're not working with them, but working on Barry's behalf. And they have deep ties to Club for Growth. Mm-hmm. They also have deep ties to a group that worked for Ron DeSantis, who President Trump has sent out, former President Trump has sent the word down, don't use these guys. Well, it turns out that Jerry Carl also has some consultants that have work for Ron DeSantis. So I don't know where that line gets drawn, right? But Moore says they're not taking PAC money from them. Who knows, right?
Is it possible that the earth could open up and swallow all of them? Can we get a Club for Growth, Donald Trump, Barry Moore, and everybody all together and just take them out? Look, you know, you're right. This is one of the highlights of the problems that we have with financial disclosures in this country, okay?
Right.
Because you can mask, even with a lot of the laws that have been passed, you can still mask where a lot of money comes, where you can mask ties. You've really got to dig through a lot of things and understand the political connections of people and recognize names a lot of times to be able to tie these folks together. And, you know, is Barry Moore tied to Club for Growth? I would think that he probably is in some way, shape, or form at this point. I mean, does that matter? I don't know. Not to me. I don't like any of them. But I mean, you know, but you know what you should do. I tell you what the people should do. Just vote for whatever Democrat's running for CD1. But I mean, honestly, I can't imagine somebody doing a much better job for that district. I mean, I could imagine a Democrat. I could imagine a Republican doing a much better job for that district than what Jerry Carl has done.
Right. Yeah. And you got to understand that the laws governing a federal campaign versus a state campaign are quite different.
Yes.
You know, we have PAC-to-PAC transfers banned here in Alabama, but not so much in federal.
Right.
So you can move money, you know, through and try to disguise where it where it originates from to where it actually ends up. And that goes on all the time.
Well, I mean, Club for Growth continues to try to make headway in Alabama because they want to control what is done here. Mm-hmm. They want to control what's done in the Republican Party. That's politics. That's the way it is. I didn't have a graphic for this, but Josh, you wrote about Anthony Daniels seems to be taking the fundraising lead in Senate and Congressional District 2.
Right.
And then he's followed on by some other folks. But most of the big money, except for what Anthony Daniels has, is really loans. people buying themselves money.
Yeah, it's you know, Shamari Figures was he and Daniels were the only two to eclipse 200,000 on the Democratic side, and 25,000 of that of Figures' money came from a loan. Daniels didn't loan his campaign any money, and so you know, it gives him in my mind at least, you know, because those candidates are going to look to get that money back in some way. So the 25,000 looks good on paper, or and on the Republican side, Dick Brubaker, who loaned his campaign $300,000, and so you know, but that. So that looks good on paper, and it gives you the appearance of a big fundraising lead, but you're going to want to recoup that at some point. And so I don't know how real that money is in terms of being able to spend it. And so, yeah, I think Daniels is up there. And if you just look at base, what was really surprising to me, if you just look like at base fundraising, where you're going out and getting money from individuals, it was surprising to see how much more money Democrats raised in the cycle. I mean, I understand that this was you know, a district that they're probably expected to win, but expected to win narrowly. And the Alabama GOP keeps telling you that, oh, we got a real shot in this race.
But they're outraising what the GOP is.
Yeah, yeah, but now, and you know, like he said, so many of these Republicans have donated and loaned themselves their money. That tells you what really rings it for me is where they're raising funds from individuals as to how much support they actually have.
Right, because if you're raising it from inside the district, that's votes. That's real votes.
Exactly.
But can you do you have kind of a breakdown of how everybody's doing on the Democratic side a little bit?
Yeah, it's a top is Daniels. I believe he raised about $217,000, and all of it was pretty much individual donations. I think there were some PAC donations that were in there, but most of it was individual. Shamari Figures was second on there, and then it was Jeremy Gray and Marika Coleman were the only four that eclipsed $100,000, got into six figures. But Figures and Daniels were roughly double what the other two had.
Right.
Really, I think at this point, you're looking at a race between those four people. Mm-hmm. You know, and maybe Napoleon Bracey as well. He ended up somewhere close to 100,000, but it was still a pretty low draw compared
to less than what we thought he
was. Yeah.
Well, I don't want to see any of these women drop out now because they're pretty exciting. Right.
Yeah. I would say it was probably a pretty disappointing haul for Wandalyn Gabon. But, you know, I think she ended up with somewhere around $20,000.
Well, and but she does a great job here in the state. Yeah. We'll see what happens. It ain't over until it's over, right?
Yeah, exactly. No, it's not. And then on the Republican side, you had Brubaker and Caroline Dobson, who had the most money because they had both loaned themselves $300,000 for Brubaker, $250,000 for Dobson. And then you had Greg Allbritton at around 120 or so thousand, but he had loaned himself very little money.
Yeah.
I think it was
$25,000. Yeah, it's really interesting to see how much money these people are willing to spend of their own cash. And they're hoping to get it back.
They'll get it back.
But you know what? I don't think it would hurt either one of those folks if they didn't get it back.
Probably not.
But, you know, I've never been able to pay for a job that pays less than 100, you know, 200,000. I'm going to pay 300,000 to get a $200,000 job. But there you go. Anyway, we're going to have to leave it right there. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back.
Today, Montgomery is a safer city. It's time to shift the narrative and take control of our future. We're reopening community centers, remediating blight, and revitalizing neighborhoods across the city. And we're unleashing new opportunities. Over the past year, companies have invested a record-setting $2 billion in Montgomery and created 2,000 jobs. This is a new Montgomery. And together, we're reimagining the possibilities.
It's time. Time we had someone in Congress fighting for us. As Democratic leader in the State House, Anthony Daniels helped steer millions of dollars into our district, fighting to raise wages, invest in our infrastructure, and create good jobs. Now he's passed a new law, removing state taxes on overtime pay, putting more money in our pockets. It's time for Anthony Daniels for Congress. One of us for all of us.
I'm Anthony Daniels, and I approve this message.
As a paramedic, you wouldn't believe the things that we've seen.
I've seen all types of horrible things.
I mean, we're there basically picking up the pieces from your worst day.
Everyone is just driving and not paying attention.
We all have the same goal. All of us want to go home alive and safe and harm nobody else in the process.
Slow down. Be careful. Care about the other people on the road. Don't be the reason that someone else doesn't go home tonight.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. Can we say cannabis chaos reigns? I mean, it is just a never-ending...
Yeah,
that's
one of those.
All the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, Josh, just this week, the commission filed a lawsuit asking to appeal what Judge Anderson had said about them being able to take depositions. They've gone over this deposition thing for almost a month. Mm-hmm. Judge Anderson said, you're going to sit for depositions. Mm-hmm. Now they put out a writ of mandamus, and that, I think that's a legal temper tantrum, and said, no, we're not. Yeah. We don't have to give depositions. Yeah. What are they hiding, Josh?
Well, you know, I think writ of mandamus means, please help us. I don't know. I think it's just, it looks like a last gasp sort of thing. Because every point that they're trying to argue in here has been addressed by Anderson in various hearings and meetings. You know, what they're saying in a lot of this is that, you know, look, they've not exhausted all the administrative steps. The plaintiffs have not exhausted all that. They haven't applied for this hearing yet. We've got a hearing process that we could go through, and they've not gone through the hearing process yet. Well, you know, the reason they haven't gone through the hearing process is we've been tied up in litigation over here. Yeah. And plus, Anderson said, even if they go through the hearing process, you're not going to hold up issuing out the licenses, mm-hmm. which then puts them in a position where even if they won the hearing, they don't win anything.
Right.
You know, you've already handed out the licenses that are available.
I mean, they last week, in order to avoid depositions, were threatening to, you know, recall all the licenses, you know, so those people wouldn't have to be deposed. I mean they're really hiding something here. It's pretty profound.
I mean, this is like somebody going, you get pulled over by the cops and they voluntarily go, I'm sorry, officer, I have a legal weapon in my glove box.
Right.
So that they won't see the dead body in the trunk.
Right.
But the thing that interests me and concerns me is they're sitting so the lawyers can ask them questions that they answer truthfully. Mm-hmm. They're not being waterboarded.
No.
They're not going to be tortured. No. They're going to be asked to tell the truth, Susan.
Honestly. You know, and that's where I think they've got a problem with it. They're afraid of the truth, obviously, because they keep finding these depositions so hard.
Yeah. And you know, the other thing, too, is that the scope of the depositions are going to be limited. To what the matters that were before them. So that's what people want to know. That's what's part of this deposition, part of the hearing. They want to know if they had any discussions privately, which would violate the Open Meetings Act. And they want to know, you know, what were their thinking? Why did they do these things? Which, I got to tell you, are all things we should all know anyway.
That's right.
You know, I mean, there should be no reason why this public entity shouldn't tell you why we put public money into these companies.
Right.
You know,
you discovered this week that ag and industry is supposed to be involved in this entire process.
Exactly.
They're supposed to be in charge of cultivation, which means they can actually do the site inspections, including having drones go and do them if they need to. So why did they drop out in 2002?
Yeah, that's
why did they just go? And I want to know that in part of this deposition as well.
I mean, and according to statute, ag and industry has the ruling the authority over cultivation. Mm-hmm. Well, they said, we can't inspect all these places. Well, you can inspect any place.
Well, how can't they? They're all in the state. John Merrill went to all 67 counties all the time.
And ag and industry has the feet or the boots on the ground all over the state. They do
inspections all over the state.
I mean, you know, all we really needed was some. Most of these places don't exist.
That's right.
Oh, just drive by and take a picture of the field.
Fly a drone over.
Yeah,
exactly. Oh, empty field. Yep.
But there is something they're hiding. There's no doubt
in my mind. Of course there is.
I mean, any number of things, apparently.
Yeah.
And it's sad, but I tell you, there's only a couple things that can happen. Governor Ivey can, you know, just fire the whole lot of them over there.
Mm-hmm. Which I would have done a long time ago.
Which As my old pap used to say, you know, fires will continue until morale improves.
Exactly.
Or the legislature can step in and go, all right, we're going to fix this so you can't screw up anymore. And then fire the whole lot of them.
Yeah. No doubt. I mean, but somebody's going to have to do something, or multiple somebody's, because this is going to continue to be a quagmire.
Yeah. Just give everybody a license.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Yeah. Why are we doing this?
And let the market straighten it out.
If you want to, impose regional limits on companies, mm-hmm. and then give everybody a license.
You know, one of the idiots over the legislature, and I won't name them because there's quite a few, but this particular one said, oh, we can't pass gaming because look what a mess cannabis is.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Number one, the Cannabis Commission folks, the lawyers said, well, we didn't know anything about doing this, and nobody in the state's ever done it.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know what? Forms of gaming, like they want to put together for regulations, have existed in Alabama for 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
If we're going to shut things down because of some corruption, there's a big white building with that pictured right here that will be empty forever.
Yes.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And there is one particular party that had quite a bit of trouble, if I recall, between the years, I would say, 2012 and 2016 or so.
Yeah,
just a few problems. Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, this is just another excuse for somebody to say no to something that they shouldn't be saying no to.
Right. It's
for the
what
people.
Are they afraid of?
Well, they're afraid that probably their uncle's got an illegal gambling deal.
Yeah.
You know,
in the back of the florist,
it's
right?
It's like the guys that used to vote against liquor, you know, who own stills.
Yeah. That's exactly right. I mean, it is that. That's what people need to realize, is just how pervasive gaming is in the state.
Yeah.
And if you hear these people talk about these things, it is it's a distraction and nothing more than that.
Yeah.
And that's all we're talking about now.
You know, we only got about 40 seconds, but I do want to remember that this past week marked the 15th anniversary of the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act. Mm-hmm. It was enacted in 2009. Lilly Ledbetter, an icon in my mind of Alabama great women.
Susan, absolutely.
She did a great thing.
She did a great thing. She did it right over here at Goodyear Tire and Rubber, and really changed the way, you know, the difference between the pay between male and female in the workplace. But what she did, which most importantly did, is got the original limit that was 180 days or 300 days to file a complaint. She got that revoked so that you could have, you know, more time to file your complaints.
There's a lot more to do, Josh, but Lilly Ledbetter led the way.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's a whole different world now.
Yeah.
And a better one because of the work that she did.
We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you,
Lilly.
She is
still with us, and she lives in Jacksonville, and we want to thank you on behalf of every Alabamian that cares. Anyway, you've been watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You watch us because we watch them.